Thank you, Ryan. Hi, everybody. It's Friday.
Music to my ears.
Isn't that great? And it has been a short work week. It's only 3 days. So what are we complaining about? But it's just
Who's complaining?
To get to Friday. It's just nice. If you're going to call and wish Mary Vandeveld a happy birthday, please wait until midnight. We will give you her phone number at home, and you can call her at midnight. It's her birthday tomorrow.
January 5th, right?
January 5th.
But you celebrate it like New Year's Day, right? Everyone does the countdown, and then, you get the calls.
Yeah, my kids are like, oh, that's right, it's your birthday again. Because, you know, after the holidays, everybody's like, you know, winding down, getting back to normal, and boom, there's another thing we have to go buy Mama present for.
Yeah. Mary, at my house, my daughter's birthdays are December 28th, Reese and Kylie's, and then my wife's is January 1st.
Oh.
So we just open presents. Everybody in the house just opens presents for a week.
Oh, wow.
It just,
that's
it's a nonstop barrage of present opening.
And what about you? You don't...
Yeah. I don't have a birthday anymore. Stopped having them. Too many. They were piling up.
All right. Well, Mary Sandberg Boyle brought in some amazing cupcakes.
Oh, so good.
They the best.
Gooey cupcakes. I can't remember what they're called.
Ooey gooey butter. She just gave me the recipe.
Ooey gooey butter and chewy.
Butter cake recipe.
You can taste the butter is so evident. I mean, that's the first thing. Isn't that the first thing you tasted in them was just a barrage of butter?
Yeah, but I'm confused about something.
About butter?
Well,
is it butter related?
Because Mary Sandberg Boyle said to me, would you like to try one of these cupcakes? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, yeah, Bill doesn't eat other people's food.
And au contraire, I say with a French accent.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said, oh, he eats everyone's food but mine.
That's true.
Why is that really is such an offensive thing?
The truth is, if I may be 100% honest, I know that your dog is a very big part of your life, and my guess is your dog would be nearby while you were baking something, and I don't want to have any dog hair in my food.
Well, I told you.
And I've eaten food made by dogs, and it's fine. I don't mind that, but I just think that you would go out of your way to have the dog there either mixing something or creating something having to do with the recipe.
You know, I would be worried that people listening right now would spit in your food from now on.
I'm sure that happens on a daily basis. I'm positive that happens. Sometimes when I order food, I have to say, could you put the spittle on the side? Could I have a side order of spit, please?
It really hurts my feelings.
No, you shouldn't let it hurt your feelings.
You eat anything, anybody. If Steve Grzanich made something and brought it in, he has dogs?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you have against my dogs? Kona is going to be 1 year old on January 6th.
Seven, because you always have to multiply it by seven.
I thought you started with one, and then on the second birthday, it's seven.
Oh, I didn't know that part. I always heard that and I don't believe this, but they always say that dogs age at a rate seven times that of the humans.
Well, think about it. They only live to be maybe 14, 15 years old.
Right, but they're not seven when they're one. You know what I mean? Like, people who are into that really believe, no, my dog is seven. No, the dog's still one.
Well, I invited you to Kona's first birthday party, and you said you were busy.
I got something that day.
Yeah, I know.
I have something. I wish I could go.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. All right, well, those cupcakes were very good.
So good. So good. There's so many things I want to share with you. However, the Bears are playing in a playoff game on Sunday, and this doesn't happen very often. So what we've done is we've gone to our Bears insider, the guy who knows things about the Bears. Even the Bears don't know. I don't know how he gets this information, but he does. Adam Hoge will join us in just a few minutes, and we'll get a preview of Sunday's Bears game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
I cannot wait for this Bears game, I got to tell you. And my friend Sue is a season ticket holder. Boy, she jumped on the bandwagon at a really good time. I think they were on a waiting list for like 10 years.
Yeah.
They finally got tickets. Was it last year or 2 years ago? But now, now they are so happy to have their season tickets.
Yeah.
In fact, you could put your name into a raffle, and right before a game, they pick some people to hold a flag to wave as the Bears are running in. And
really?
Sue won the raffle. So Sue and her son, actually her husband Jeff won it, but Sue and her son Garrett are going to be waving flags as the Bears run out on Sunday.
Will that be televised? Can we see that on TV?
I'm going to be looking for her.
That's exciting. Good for her.
I got goosebumps thinking about it.
There were years that the Bears had a raffle before the game, and if your number was called, you got to play for the team. But they stopped doing that.
You are so hateful and hurtful. It's
but honest.
Guess all the H's.
Right.
Hateful, hurtful, and honest.
Honest.
I'm telling you, it's 2019. Can't you just be better?
I want them to win. I'm so hoping they win. And I have really, you know this, I have enjoyed the games. The last few weeks I've watched the games and I've enjoyed the games, and I didn't think that was going to happen for years. So I'm 100% hoping that the Bears win and go all the way.
All right.
I don't mind being wrong about this. I like being wrong about this.
I don't know where Adam Hoge is coming up, on the phone or remotely, and Jasmine just went to get our guest.
You will be able to hear Adam Hoge in your fillings. That's the only way you'll be able to get Adam Hoge. That's coming up in just a minute.
What a fun job it's been for him this year, huh?
Over the last couple years, Ryan, every time we talked to Adam, when our conversation was done, I felt bad because all we did was criticize, because that's all that's the only thing you could do with the Bears in previous years.
But he's been brutally honest with things.
Oh,
he's doing such a good job.
Oh,
and really, what a great year.
Yeah.
What a great year to be a Bears fan.
I think you're right. Yep.
It's a good one.
And now I'm seeing, well, I guess I've always seen Bears paraphernalia out and about.
Even when the team was 2-12,
no,
you still saw people wearing...
I saw it at stores because no one was buying it.
Yeah.
Now I see like one or two left.
There would be a surplus of Bears jerseys.
Still the
hats.
Erlacher jersey you can get for a very cheap price at Marshall's.
Right.
How about that Rex Grossman jersey?
Oh my gosh.
Still available in some places. I've got the Urlacher billboard up in our living room.
All right, so who
with
is...
With hair or without?
It's the one with hair.
Oh, okay.
He looks great.
What is the jersey that you would get of a current player? Because when you purchase a jersey,
Cody
it's an
Parkey.
Investment, right?
When you'd go Cody Parkey.
Yes, I would. I'd wear it all the time. No one would bump into me. Or maybe everyone would bump into me. I don't know how that goes.
Be hitting poles left and right.
Who would you go with, Ryan?
Well, you know, because my son wants one, and I obviously he likes Mac.
Yeah.
Trubisky will probably be here for a while.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too, because you don't want a guy who's going to be gone in a couple of years. You want a jersey that's going to last. So,
Wendy, hold off on that Cody Parkey. That's Ryan's way of saying, don't be so fast to purchase that jersey.
My son really likes Tariq Cohen as well.
Oh, that would be a good one to
because
get.
Because he's the shortest guy on the field.
Yeah.
He's like 5'6".
Somebody referred to him as pint-sized last week.
Making me super fast.
Pint-sized.
But man, when he starts running backwards, that's when you get a little nervous. He's like, you know what? I can outrun these guys if I just run about 5 yards backwards. It's like,
very
no!
mobile. Yeah, I like him a lot. I would go with Prince Amukamura.
Here you go.
I'm sorry.
If it was up to me, I was just saying Prince Amukamura. That would be the guy whose jersey
Does
I would get.
Does it fit on the jersey?
Nope. It says to be continued. It says like Prince Amuka. And then it just says in brackets to be continued.
I'd go Khalil Mack.
Yeah, that's a good
what
one.
We were saying.
I told my son
that
Akeem Hicks jersey would actually probably be his bedspread. Akeem Hicks is like
6'5", 400
pounds.
Ryan, would you go Wayman Bryant, or am I a couple of weeks off on that
not
one?
Quite,
no,
not
all
quite.
Right. Why don't we do this? We'll take a break.
No, we can talk to
is
Adam Hoge
right now.
All
right.
Bear down, Adam Hoge.
Adam Hoge, can you name that tune?
Bear down, Adam Hoge.
Yes. Bing, bing, bing. We have. All right. Hold on. We'll get your prizes.
Nice.
We're all excited about Sunday. What are the
Wait,
keys,
you don't,
Adam?
You don't want to talk about Jay Cutler?
Bill hates Jay Cutler.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Jay Cutler and Kevin Hart are in a car driving around. Whose airbag do you not want to go off?
This is what I imagine hell to be like. Would be that.
They'll be your Uber driver.
It would be a coast-to-coast ride, a car ride with those two guys. That would be the worst thing in the world. What's the key to winning on Sunday, do you think, Adam?
Keep Jay Cutler as far away from Soldier Field as possible.
Right.
No. Look, I hate to simplify it, but I think that as long as the Bears' defense comes to play, there's really no way they lose.
That's the key.
Best defense around, would you say?
Absolutely. And they're just so opportunistic, and they play so well together. They swarm to the football. They always seem to be on the same page. If you look at the Eagles, this Nick Foles magic, you know, it just doesn't seem to wear off for some reason. It's hard to explain. And so, you know, I think that that's obviously a factor on Sunday. But the thing is, a lot of that magic is a lot of deep passes downfield that he just sort of magically completes. And that's the Bears have not given that up this year. And as long as their pass rush and Khalil Mack is getting to the quarterback, then I just don't think that the Eagles are going to really get too many explosive plays on Sunday. And I guess what I'm saying is the Bears can get away with winning on Sunday even if Mitch Trubisky doesn't play outstanding.
Because the defense is so strong.
Right. Now, going forward, in the next couple rounds, I don't know that you can get away with that on the road at L.A. and certainly not on the road in New Orleans if they were to play the NFC Championship game there. But I think this week at home with as good as the Bears defense has been, especially at Soldier Field, as long as that side of the ball comes to play, the Bears are going to be tough to beat.
Did you see this coming, playoff action?
I actually did, however, with an asterisk, because I said they'd go 10-6 and get in as a wild card. I still thought the Vikings would be a lot better this year. And so for them to win 12 games and win the division with 2 weeks left in the season, I didn't see that coming. And I didn't think that they'd be a true Super Bowl contender, which I believe they are right now.
The only blemish would be that in their last 10 games, they went 9-1. They lost that game to the Giants, but it was with their backup quarterback in. So you almost have to take that off the record, don't you? Almost?
Yeah, a little bit. The only thing is that the defense didn't play as well in that game.
Yeah.
Now, they were also coming off 3 games in 12 days against their division.
Right.
That Nagy, I thought, really pushed a lot of good buttons there to get them to hone in on those 3 weeks. But the downside of that is sometimes then there's a letdown that follows. And they had a little bit of a mini bye. There's a lot of factors that went into that loss in New York. And what also shouldn't be ignored from that game is even though they lost, they erased a 10-point deficit in the final couple minutes and forced overtime. And so that I still think they showed a lot of heart in that game. And then to come back and win 4 straight games since then and win that game. I was really impressed with that win in Minnesota last week. That was a tough environment. The Vikings had everything on the line, and the Bears just beat them from start to finish.
60 minutes, honestly. If you looked at that whole game, there wasn't any downtime. They were just strong through the whole game.
Just the Cody Parkey missed extra
point. What is up with that? I mean, why is he?
It's a skill, though, Adam. You got to admit, to be able to hit the upright that often is a skill, but not a skill you want to have.
I think they should change the rule that you get 4 points if you hit the
because that is more difficult.
It's way more difficult.
I mean, do they need to put a goalpost within the goalpost?
Yes.
Yeah, because that would
yes.
help.
Yes.
That's a good idea. I don't know if they can get away with that. Look, it is. This is the Bears' biggest concern going into the playoffs. Now, the good thing is he's been better at home since that disastrous game against the Lions earlier this season.
You don't want better. You want a guy who can do his job. I hate to say that.
No, I'm with you. And what's bothering me is that in the NFL kickers, like, this is your
bread and butter, baby.
This is what you do. This is what you get paid a ton of money to do. Anything inside 40 yards should be automatic in the NFL to me. When you're one of 32 kickers in the world that does this for a living, and so for him to be missing some of these easier kicks, that's what's hard to stomach right now. And I think it's a big concern for the Bears going into the playoffs, because whether it's this week, next week, or down the road, there's going to be a big kick in a tight ball game. And he's either going to make it or he's going to miss it. And it's the difference between him being a hero in Chicago forever or them going after Robbie Gould and bringing him back in the
offseason. But Adam, do you think a guy, especially a kicker in the NFL, could get a little bit snake bitten, whereas in a season where he's had that many episodes, that's playing around in your head a little bit as you're going for that kick? That's got to be a reality, right?
Well, almost every kicker I've ever talked to has compared it to golf.
Yeah.
And the Bears special teams coach, Chris Tabor, yesterday compared his job to being a caddy as they, you know, went down to Soldier Field again yesterday morning to practice. You know, he's standing there just trying to give him some advice, and you're trying to help as much as you can. But ultimately, if something's in your head with your golf swing,
yes,
you're going to hit a bad shot.
Should the Bears get Nick Faldo then to kick for them, do you think, on Sunday?
I'd maybe go younger.
Younger than him? All right.
Bubba Watson.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. I went to a preseason game last year, saw Mitch Trubisky play for the first time. It was really weird to hear on the PA, play completed, pass completed.
People
I hadn't
were
heard.
Looking through their
I know.
Thesauruses. What could that mean?
He is a great quarterback. I love that he's able to run successfully if he doesn't see someone to pass to. His precision is pretty good. When's the last time we had a quarterback this good?
It's been a while, and I think he still has a lot of room to improve too. That's the kind of the exciting thing is, I think he's just starting to scratch the surface, because I think people are underestimating how much was on his plate this year with his new offense. This is a complicated system that Matt Nagy brought in here from Kansas City. So you got a young quarterback that really was not put in a good position last year and survived it, and I think it was a lot to ask for him to be outstanding this season. I don't know that he's been outstanding, but I do think he's been good. And I also like when he comes out and struggles against LA a few weeks ago in a game the Bears still managed to win in spite of Mitch, he admitted, and he tried to do a little bit too much coming off a two-game layoff because, remember, he was hurt. And he came back the last 3 weeks. He's completed over 75% of his passes. Granted, a lot of them has been easier. They've dialed things back a little bit, but also a lot of that is because of what defenses have been giving him. He's been patient. He's been more accurate. And yes, he can tuck the ball and be dangerous with his legs at any given moment, which, if you go back and watch the Eagles game a couple weeks ago against the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, the Texans quarterback, is very similar, and he was able to find a lot of room to run in that game when plays broke down. So I think Mitch is going to have some success on the ground as well on Sunday.
Are his wide receivers going to be healthy?
Yes, it looks like. Now, they'll probably be a little sore still. Allen Robinson dealing with a rib injury, Taylor Gabriel dealing with a rib and shoulder, and then Anthony Miller dealing with a shoulder that he's been dealing with all season. So there's going to be some soreness, but they're all good to go. They practiced in full the last 2 days. They're all going to play. I think, quite frankly, all three of them could have kept playing last week if that game had really mattered more. And so they should be good, and Mitch should have his full group of wide receivers.
Matt Nagy, visor or no visor, and if he's just going to stick with the visor. I know there were two games he wore the stocking cap, and they did win.
Mm.
Bill has a great idea with a retractable dome for the, yep. the visor
in case
it's
the weather.
Cold.
Hey, yeah. We don't do retractable stadiums. It's just not what we do. You know, and what's funny about that is I went back and watched. Remember, Matt Nagy was criticized really heavily after the Chiefs blew that game. Last year in the playoffs, they blew a 21-3 lead against the Titans, and that allowed the Bears to hire him the next day. Nagy took a lot of heat. If you would like to read about that, I think it's a lot. You know, it's pretty much all false, and he shouldn't have. You can read it at WGNRadio.com/Bears. But I found the real problem in that game.
What is it?
He was wearing a stocking hat.
Oh, yeah.
He was not wearing the visor. So as long as he goes visor Sunday, the Bears should be good.
What about a beret or a sombrero? Would you go with either one of those, Adam?
It'd be a bold choice. Yep. Maybe save it for the Super Bowl.
Oh, good call. Good call. Yeah. You have a full report on the game tonight at 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we're going 7 to 10 tonight. My podcast partner, Adam Johns from the Chicago Sun-Times. Mark Carmen will be there, too. We're going to line up some guests. I think Jared Payton's going to join us at some point. So 3 hours of Bears playoff preview coverage tonight on WGN.
Excellent.
Radio. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Go Bears.
We're looking forward to it, Adam. Thanks
so much. All
right,
guys. Enjoy the game.
Thank
you. Adam Hoge. He's our Bears insider, Wendy. He knows stuff even the Bears don't know. I don't know how he does it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. We have the laws that matter. We're going to talk about the new laws for 2019. It still feels very foreign saying 2019.
Sure.
In the studio with us, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, is Brian Salvi, partner at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Worried about some of these new laws that are in effect. I got an alert on my phone. You look in the local paper. Everything came up with all these new laws for 2019. A lot of them?
About
average.
Yeah, no, I mean, every year there are plenty of laws that go into effect that impact everyday lives of the citizens of Illinois, but obviously some are going to impact us more directly than others, and we're going to talk about a little bit.
That's the reason we do this, is to see which ones will most affect Wendy, because she's going to be arrested soon. We just want to see which
one. It's just
law.
A matter of time.
Yeah. I know that when these terrible, tragic school bus accidents happened on the day before Halloween, a lot of people, and I admitted openly on the air, that if a stop sign is out on a bus and you're going the opposite direction, I didn't 100% know that that meant everyone stop.
Right.
And
right.
I was honest to admit it, and a lot of people admitted they didn't know that either. If you were following the bus, you would know to stop, but are there new laws involving
the keys
that?
Yeah, highway.
I mean,
now,
the
right?
Yeah, right. Yes. And the thought process there is that when you've got children getting off the school bus, it's not necessarily going to be the case that they're just getting off and staying on that side of the street, right? They're going to potentially be getting off the school bus and then walking completely across the street.
And shouldn't your brain tell you caution? There are children because there's a school bus, so maybe I should slow down and look around.
Right, especially given the fact that school buses aren't exactly hard to see. They're giant. They're yellow. They've mm-hmm. got flashing lights and then a little red stop sign that everybody recognizes sticks out from the side of it. So, you know, the tragedy that occurred last year certainly highlights the fact that people need to be aware of their obligations when they see a school bus.
Is there a new school bus signal arm and lighting law?
So not directly. The school bus law that I recognized in preparation for today has to do more about the use of school buses that don't have those things. So essentially what the new law says is that if a school bus is carrying individuals under the age of 18, it has to have, you know, big sign that says school bus. It's got to have the kick out stop light, yeah, with the flashing lights. But what the law allows is that if a bus does not have those things, it can still be used for other purposes that aren't involved with education, church, say camping, for instance. And so it basically gives a little broader use of school buses that might otherwise be inoperable.
So if we're driving and there's a school bus pulled to the side of the road and that little miniature stop sign by the window is not out, we still stop or we don't stop?
In those situations, I think it's safe to proceed. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, right.
No stop sign.
Right, yeah. Right. So listen to what the school bus is telling you, because essentially this requirement indicates that if the school bus does not have, you know, the sign kicking out, yeah, and things like that, it would, I mean, the bus would only be operating without that stop sign if the people on the bus are over the age of 18.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, because they've got adults, I think there's a little less caution, so to speak.
All right.
Speaking of children, I was talking to my niece over the holiday weekend, and she was irritated by this new children 2 and under have to have a rear-facing, sure, car seat. I can't remember what I did, but I know that my kids got bigger and taller quicker, so you could turn it around. What is the new law about the rear-facing child seats?
Sure. So the new law requires that any children under the age of 2 need to be in a rear-facing car seat, and it cannot be in front of an active airbag. And so essentially, you need to be in the back seat. You need to be in the back seat, and the car seat needs to be rear-facing if the child's under 2. Now, the two exceptions to that are if the child is over 40 pounds or over 40 inches long.
Is it both or one or the other?
It's one or the other, because the car seats are manufactured for children under 40 pounds. There's no, you know, obviously when you're making a car seat, there's no age restriction that would be put on. It's more size. And so 40 pounds is what the car seats are built for. And so this law is just kind of putting in the fact that anybody under 2 needs to be in these rear-facing seats, with the exception of children who are a little bigger, over 40 inches or over 40 pounds.
Is this to protect the child from the collision, from the airbag, or from both?
Both. And here's the main reason why. I mean, the airbag, I think, you know, everybody understands that if you have a rear-facing child and an airbag deploys into it, that can be catastrophic. I mean,
yeah.
I think if you look on the caution signs in cars, you know, in vehicles, it shows, you know, that the back of the car seat snapping in,
yep,
half as the airbag, right? And so for the purpose of this requirement is really geared for minor collisions.
Yeah.
Because rear-facing seats, just by the way they're built, help protect a child's spine, back, and neck, right?
Yeah.
So minor collisions, however, if in a rear-facing or a front-facing situation, can, mm-hmm, still cause significant, you know, whiplash,
yeah,
to a child. And,
mm-hmm,
so this rear-facing requirement provides extra protection against a child, especially in minor collisions.
You should drive backwards. That'll protect you.
That would be
there
better.
You go.
Good idea.
Solutions.
Solid.
It does. It's a really wonderful moment when you can turn that car seat around, because when it's rear facing, you can't, you know, distract them.
Right.
They're just looking at the seat, basically. And if they throw up, you can't see that,
oh,
of course.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
So,
never thought of that.
2 years, children under 2, up to age 2, must ride rear facing unless they are taller than 40 inches or weigh more than 40 pounds.
That's right.
All right. The next one is the one that bothers me more than anything, and that's people who are texting and driving. They say the laws are going to be tougher. Are they, though?
This law, I think, goes a long way,
yeah,
in making people, you know, put the phone down. I mean, I was looking at a statistic that said Illinois indicated that 9% of drivers in 2017 were texting while driving.
I guarantee you it's higher.
Exactly,
yeah,
right? If
you,
anybody's been on the expressway or the 290, the 90, you know, just
anywhere,
look around. Everybody's on their phone,
yeah,
including, you know, hand up. I'm guilty of it every once in a while myself.
That's why we called you in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Life experience, right? No, but what this law does is it makes individuals who get caught texting and driving. It changes it from a non-moving violation to a moving violation. And that's significant because non-moving violations, you're really just racking up fines,
yeah.
right? You get caught texting and driving. It's a non-moving violation. You pay $75. You move on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably, the next day after you pay the fine, are right back at it looking mm-hmm. at your phone. Now, with a moving violation, what it does is it puts some teeth into what law enforcement can do, because with three moving violations, you're putting yourself in jeopardy for getting your license suspended. And so when you make this a moving violation, three moving violations in 1 year put you at risk for that suspension. And what that means is, say you get, you know, a speeding ticket in January. Then you get a texting and driving the next month in February. Okay, you got 10 months where if you get caught texting and driving again, you might get your license
right.
suspended.
Right, right.
Whereas that wasn't going to be the case. You could get, you know, the fines would increase at, you know, $50 a pop or whatever. But that really wouldn't incentivize anybody to put their phones down
right.
because they could just pay the fine and move on.
But Brian, the problem is in the enforcement,
yes.
or lack
How
of
are
enforcement.
They
sure.
enforce
I don't
it.
See anybody ever getting pulled over for this ever.
So actually, it's interesting because I think this law gives incentive not just to drivers to put their phones down, but it gives incentives to police officers to enforce this more.
Yeah.
Law enforcement is now incentivized to make sure that they pull over people who are caught texting and driving, because now they can explain to the person who they just caught and say, hey, listen, two more of these, you're going to lose your license.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's...
That will scare you straight.
Exactly.
It really
Hopefully.
Will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the thought is that if law enforcement knows that the law itself is more meaningful,
right.
then they'll be more incentivized to follow through
Can
on
it. Can I suggest something? For a while, there was a quota system. I don't know that it's still in place, where officers were told, you have to pull over X amount of speeders per month. Why don't they do that with texters,
Why
too?
Why don't you shut up?
I think they should make that a law.
Wendy doesn't want to get caught again.
But don't you think that would help the situation? Because this law has been in effect, I think, for 2 years, this
right.
texting and driving. I've never once in 2 years seen anyone pulled over for this.
I was pulled over like the first week it was announced on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
And I admitted it.
Yeah.
I was going to lie and say, oh, it was an emergency call from my kid's school. But I'm like, yeah, I was talking.
Well, it's interesting because the notes from the Illinois legislature about why they made this change is exactly that.
Is
to give law enforcement more teeth and to incentivize law enforcement to actually enforce these laws.
Good. Good.
I'm asking this question for a friend.
Oh.
So,
is your friend named Wendy?
No.
No?
Why All right. would that be?
Just curious.
If you're pulled over, and, I mean, if you're at a stoplight and you're checking your phone for something, can they still pull you over?
So the answer is yes, with the one exception of if you're making a emergency phone call.
Okay.
Now, define emergency for Wendy.
Sure.
That's her idea of emergency.
DSW, do you have my shoes in
That's
stock?
An emergency.
Now, I think it's an interesting point because I think a lot of your questions are getting to the point of enforcement. Right?
Yeah.
How do we enforce these
right.
things?
Right.
And
citizen's arrest.
Yeah. Okay,
that
Bart.
We're going to take it into our own hands.
Bill Fife.
Yeah. But it is important to remember that, you know, there are exceptions carved into this. For instance, you know, you can be on a Bluetooth, right? You can have
right.
a Bluetooth headset. You can have a headset. It just can't be, you know, something that covers both ears. It
yeah.
can only be a one-sided thing. I think one thing that we're all guilty of that we might not know is against the law is we press speakerphone
yes,
on our phone.
Yes, but you're still holding
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're still holding it, and that is still against the law. So if, you know, a cop pulls up and you're driving and you're holding it like this, speaking into it, thinking that I just realized I'm on radio and no one can see what I just
well,
did.
Well, holding it, you know, horizontally instead of up to
exactly,
your ear.
Exactly, exactly. So if you get caught doing that, that's against the law. So that speakerphone does not allow you to talk on the phone. And I think a lot of people are guilty of that as well.
Yeah.
You know, even with the newer cars, we have an old car that doesn't have a Bluetooth in it. But in the new car, you're still not paying as much attention as you should, even when you're through the Bluetooth, you know, no earbuds in or anything.
Sure.
But you're still on a phone, so you're not paying as much attention as you should be.
So that's interesting, Wendy, because you're talking more about just generally distracted driving,
yeah.
right? And so ultimately, I think that would ultimately get to just a public policy question, because then you start have to start asking yourselves, okay, are we going to ban phones completely?
Mm-hmm.
Not one, what would that law even look like? And two, how would you even go about
yeah.
enforcing it? You know,
and
maybe people are singing to the song that's on the radio,
right,
and not talking to anybody.
Or I mean, looking for a station. Right. With the touch screens now, I'm sorry, you know, I know you can do it with your steering wheel. There's a button there, but it's still distracting.
Right, right. And so, and that's another thing, too, because with any citation that you get, especially now that this is a moving violation, you get a ticket, you get a court date, you go in. It's still up to the state to prove that you were doing this.
Right.
And the one thing with text messages are, it's a paper trail.
Yeah.
Brian, Wendy has her touchscreen set up to play Angry Birds while she's driving. That can't be legal.
No, certainly
it's
not.
Candy Crush.
Certainly.
Would you
Candy
get
Crush?
Your information
Candy Crush.
Correct?
That's legal. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a break and then more of the new laws for 2019. Brian Salvey is here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's the law, and we must follow it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Brian Salvey with us, partner at Salvey, Shostak, and Pritchard.
Which one are you?
Neither of those
You're
three,
none
actually.
Of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an offspring
fair.
Of the first
Oh, you are.
One. There you
it
go.
Still counts.
Where do we reach Salvey, Shostak, and Pritchard?
Yeah, so you can find us online at salveylaw.com, S-A-L-V-I-L-A-W.
All right. I didn't know about this new law that was brought up. John Williams had discussed it prior to 2019. It's called the Dutch Reach. Bill, do you know what this is?
It is a wrestling move.
It is not a wrestling move.
It is not a wrestling move.
It's not a wrestling move.
What is it then?
Sure. So the Dutch Reach gets its name because it was a something developed in the Netherlands. But what it is, it's not a law per se, more than what it is something that they're going to add to the curriculum for driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
So when children 15 years old get their permit, they're going to go to driver's ed and they're going to be taught the Dutch Reach is the way that they're supposed to get out of their car when they park on a city street or a street with bike lanes that are rolling through. And the reason for it is because of dooring accidents. And dooring accidents are when people open up their doors with bicyclists who are coming by and they, you know, they crash into the door going, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles an hour on their bike. And, and these are significant because, as you can imagine, I mean, just imagine riding on a bike and crashing into a steel car door that's, you know, thin and sharp edged and things like that. Chicago has actually had 3 fatalities in the last 10 years related to these types of incidents, just people riding on their bikes. And so the Dutch Reach is something that teaches kids that when they're going to reach for the door that they're exiting, they need to use the opposite hand. So if any of the listeners are not driving their car, just think about it. If you're in the driver's seat, take your right hand, reach across your left shoulder, and what naturally happens? Your shoulders turn, your heads turn. And so what that allows you to do is it kind of forces you to look backwards and look into your rear view mirror to make sure that cyclists aren't coming down the pike.
And your peripheral vision would see something too. If you don't necessarily turn all the way around, you would see something coming peripherally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it forces change in body position to make you more
and it
aware.
Stretches out your back.
Yeah, it's better for you. Good
point. Get a little stretching exercise. There, a little yoga in the car.
Do you have to do it if you're a passenger?
Well, think about it just the other way, yeah. You know, if you're in the passenger seat and you're on a one-way street and you pull over to the left, you know, you reach over with your left hand and what naturally happens is you turn to your right. And so this would certainly apply to both passengers and drivers.
As of now, this is a law or it is not a law? Like if you do this or don't do this, are you going to have to pay a fine?
Right. So this is not a law in so much as you get a citation or a fine if they're able to prove that you didn't utilize the Dutch Reach.
Okay.
Or it's just the Illinois legislature saying, hey, listen, this is best practice. We need to start teaching the young new drivers to do this.
I think it's a great idea to teach them. Yeah. I don't think old crotchety drivers like us will begin to do it.
Maybe.
I look anyway, so I don't know if I'd get a citation because I would look, but I wouldn't necessarily open with the right hand.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a number of dooring cases through our firm, and the injuries can be very significant. I mentioned the 3 fatalities, but the injuries can be very significant. And I think we're all guilty of it, right? You're grabbing something off the front seat, you're grabbing your coffee mug, and you kind of nonchalantly just kick the door open because that's where you're going.
You kill somebody.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You create an immediate hazard that a cyclist would not be able to adjust to.
Walk me through this one, because I thought I understood this, but maybe I don't. Somebody told me that I got this wrong. Say I'm on a lane, I'm driving forward, and the car in front of me is taking a left-hand turn, so I want to go around them. But to go around them, I have to enter into a bike lane. Legal or not legal?
Yeah, I wouldn't encourage you to do that.
Illegal.
I would say, yeah,
illegal.
Right. Especially if there's a designated lane. I mean, don't get me wrong. We see it in the streets of Chicago where bike lanes run through the traffic lanes itself.
Yes.
So in those situations, it would be fine. But if you have a designated bike lane that is separate from, say, two lanes of traffic, do not go into that bike
lane. Even if there's no bike anywhere within distance, if you look in your rearview mirror, you don't see a bike, you still can't go in, or you can?
I would say that would be kind of along the same lines of, if you ask me, can I ever go over 45?
Yeah.
You know, in a 45 speed limit.
Yeah.
I would say, sure, you can, but you might get caught.
Okay.
But that would be passing on the right, and passing on the right is illegal, isn't
it?
Yeah,
right.
Did you know that?
All right, let's not get out of this two-lane scenario. I mean, I would have to say, I mean, I hate being the lawyer who does this, but I will. It depends.
Oh, really?
It really depends. I'd have to see a specific case. I'd have to see what the lanes are like, what the setup of the bike
lane is. I travel with
a
lawyer with me everywhere at all times. I go. I always have a lawyer in my car.
Personal assistant lawyer.
Yes.
Uber lawyer. That is a great idea.
Yeah.
So, all right, you're driving down I-55. There are three lanes as you get closer to Peoria, and you've got someone really slow in the left lane. If you go to pass them on the right, technically, is that illegal?
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing, illegal, I would say sure, but it's not something enforced because on the flip side of it, cars are not supposed to be, if you're going significantly under the speed limit, you're not supposed to be in the left lane because the left lane is designated for passing.
You had mentioned that there's a new dog citation rule.
Yeah, well, it applies to dog owners.
I am one. Bill is not.
Yeah, I am a dog owner as well. And the Senate bill is actually called the Reckless Dog Owner Bill. And here's what it is.
Implying that the dog is reckless or that
the owner is reckless.
So here's what it is. It's essentially, and we have a ton of dog bite cases at our firm. And essentially what this law indicates is that if your dog attacks and kills another dog, and your dog is then found within the next 12 months roaming without a leash at all, if it gets caught twice or gets reported twice, the individual dog owner will have the dog taken from them, and then between 1 and 3 years, that person will not be allowed legally to own a dog because they're considered
the dog.
A reckless dog,
dog jail,
owner.
Wendy.
Yeah,
no.
Dog jail.
See, that's not fair to the dog. I hope it is adopted out to someone else. But I think people should learn how to take care of their pets.
Well, absolutely. I mean, and don't forget, you know, this law only pops up in the event that your dog kills another dog. So this, you know, it
injury
really only applies.
Matter.
Yeah, right. The injury doesn't matter. It has to do with actual killing of another dog.
Does this happen a lot?
I mean, it happens more often than you'd like
really?
To think. So I've got two dogs. One's 5 pounds, one's 10 pounds, right? So these are miniature little dogs.
Mine's 50 pounds.
Yeah, well, there you go. So my biggest fear is if I go into a dog park, my dogs are going to start a fight that I'm going to have to finish, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I just hate that concept. And so what you have is a situation where if a dog, I can't tell you how many dog cases that we have in our firm where an individual person gets attacked by a dog while they're trying to break up a fight between two dogs.
Really?
Right? It's not, it's more rare that it's just a spontaneous attack for dog on person. That's more rare than a person getting involved between two dogs and then getting injured in the process.
I bet.
And so, you know, when a dog does attack person or dog, most times that dog gets labeled as a dangerous dog, and when that happens, for instance, in the city of Chicago, a ton of restrictions get put on the dog. So the dog can't be roaming around without a muzzle. You have to have a beware dangerous dog sign at your home. You have to have certain fencing. You have to have certain crating at your house. So once your dog, once you're on notice that your dog has a propensity to be a dangerous dog, either to other dogs or humans, it puts you on notice of these problems. And so this law kind of goes a step further to say, hey, listen, you dog owners, if this happens, you cannot have your dog loose. And if it gets reported that it is loose, you're going to lose your right to own a dog.
They shouldn't enforce it. Ryan Burroughs coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with our news in just a minute. We are completely out of time, but such a great question. Tim, I'm going to ask it for you. Is there a new law about smoking in the car if there are minors in the car?
Not that I'm aware of.
You shouldn't do it anyway,
yeah,
Tim.
Yeah, a terrible idea, but
right.
Yeah.
But no law at this point.
Yeah, even if it's a Juul.
Right.
Yeah. Don't vape in front of kids either.
No. Brian, great to have you on. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's Brian Selvey, partner over at Selvey, Shostak, and Pritchard PC. And again, if people want to reach you guys, the best way to do that is
selveylaw.com.
Very nice. Thanks again.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you, Ryan. Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Glad that you're listening. On Fridays, we check in with our friend Alexander Zelman. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, it's been a couple weeks. Everything good?
Yeah, it's great. Happy New Year to you guys.
Good to talk to
Happy
you again.
Happy New Year.
Yep. Happy New Year. Alex, Wendy and I were talking about this Netflix movie, The Bird Box. We were talking about it yesterday, and we were being very, very careful because we don't want to divulge too much information. But this thing is the biggest hit in the history of Netflix, isn't it?
It's bananas how big it is. For those who don't know, although I imagine everybody has seen it several times at this point, it stars Sandra Bullock. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller in the meld of A Quiet Place and other things like that. And Netflix never releases viewing numbers, never, to the ultimate frustration of every entertainment journalist. But they sent out a tweet over the holiday week saying 45 million plus accounts watched Bird Box. Now, that's not even specific numbers because, as you know, if you go on Twitter at any point, multiple people are watching on single accounts, so far more people have watched than that. But it's enormous. It's huge. They said it was the first biggest 7-day they've ever had. That's only gained steam from there. It's one of the few Netflix movies I've seen that people are still talking about weeks later at this point.
So here's the question that Wendy and I were trying to figure out. When you look at this movie, it's very suspenseful. It's very scary. It's got big stars in it. Why did it go initially to Netflix instead of the theaters, do you think?
I don't think there's too much of a difference at this point, particularly with the way that Netflix is pushing. If you look at their slate for the upcoming year, they have huge stars on a lot of their movies, huge directors. There's things that, to your point, would be released in theaters any day of the week. But I was actually chatting with people after Bird Box was released a little bit on Twitter about this and found that people, you know, it's easier.
Yeah.
You can just click on Netflix. You can watch it. I think that's a large part of the reason it did debut so huge is because the decision to say, all right, I'm going to watch an hour and a half movie on Netflix while I'm home for the holidays versus planning out the 4 or 5 hours and plunking down the money and making the specific choice to go to the theaters. Just easier to know that. And I think the behind the scenes talent is starting to peak to that as well. Understanding that something like a Bird Box probably would not have done as big over Christmas in a movie theater as it did on Netflix. You just get more people to watch your art.
It was so good. I really enjoyed it. And also on Netflix, the interactive Black Mirror Bandersnatch, that had to help with some of their ratings as well.
Yeah, that was another huge hit. I mean, the whole holiday season was kind of insane for Netflix. It's funny, usually we take the week off in entertainment journalism and kind of chill out for a little bit, but the stuff that they kept releasing nonstop was pretty intense. And for those of you who haven't watched Black Mirror Bandersnatch, it's essentially a choose-your-own-adventure, but through the dark lens of Black Mirror. So it's really a choose-your-own-adventure about creating a choose-your-own-adventure video game. But the tech behind it is very smooth and very neat, allows you to make split-second choices, but without ever stopping watching the movie. And just based on that, I think people comparing their choices, figuring out, oh, did you go this way or did you go this way? Did you watch all the endings? What order did you watch them in? It was a fun cultural experience to be part of.
Alex, in the past, in movie theaters, they've tried this a couple times where they've let the audience decide how the movie's going to end. They've tried that a couple times. It's not been a huge success, but this is something that in the future could become a bigger thing, right? Where a watcher can decide, I want to focus more on this character or if somebody lives or dies. That could be the future of television, right?
There's definitely a lot of questions about that, and it's actually something Netflix has tried before, mostly with children's programming. There's a couple of other shows they had Choose Your Own Adventure episodes are, and I would caution, I don't think this is going to be every movie or every TV show going forward. The Black Mirror episode, for those of you who did watch it, you know, it's very much about that. That's the reason it's a Choose Your Own Adventure episode, is because it's about making Choose Your Own Adventure. So having it in, say, an episode of Ozark, should Jason Bateman sell these drugs or not, is not necessarily going to work the same way. But what we've been hearing a little bit behind the scenes, and there's not a ton of clarity about that, but Netflix seems to be looking at it, for better or for worse, more as data mining, saying, okay, people are making these sort of choices. This is how they're watching this episode. Does that in any way affect you, dramatic scripted television show, the way that you're going to do these things? And I don't know necessarily how, say, choosing one serial over the other will change the next season of Orange is the New Black or anything, but it's certainly something they're looking into.
Now, Bill and I were talking off the air. Bill, you haven't seen Bandersnatch
yet.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good, but I think I was more intrigued with the interactive part of it.
I've
seen other episodes of Black Mirror that were probably better.
Mm-hmm.
It is a standalone, so if you're not up to date on the other ones,
you can watch it still.
But Alex, a weird thing. I was wondering, can you watch it on your TV? Because I watched it on a tablet, so you're able to touch the screen. How does it work on a television where you can choose what serial you'd like?
You can watch it on most things. I believe the exceptions are, it doesn't work on Apple TV and it doesn't work on Chromecast because the tech doesn't actually translate properly. But pretty much anything else you can watch on, and we were talking about this in the office the other day, a couple of people checked it out on the PS4 in particular and found that it played exactly like a video game in that case, that you had the rumble pack and the controller that was giving you the feedback as you went through the episode, which definitely changed that viewing experience. But anything else you have, any other device, you should be able to check it out. And as you mentioned, it's a standalone, so it's not the best Black Mirror episode to jump in on, but it's certainly a fun, interesting thing to check out.
Absolutely.
Alex, Wendy and I were talking about this off-air yesterday. If you're on Amazon Prime and you're watching a television show on Amazon Prime, whenever you stop it, whatever actors or actresses are in that scene, it shows you a box and it tells you who's playing what character. I don't know what it is. I know technology is a great thing and we've invented amazing things over the last couple of decades, but that just blows me away. Every day, every time I'm watching a show on Amazon, I'll just pause it and I'll go, oh, that guy. I forgot about that guy. Is that something we can look forward to more in the future?
I love that thing so much. I'm actually blanking on the exact name. It does have a very specific name. X-ray, I think, is what it is, actually.
Wait, Alex, Bill was so cute when he was talking about it. He goes, I don't know if it's just my Amazon Prime account.
I didn't know if everybody
cool
got that.
Thing happens.
And it is called X-ray, and now that explains why it says X-ray on my screen every time, because I was thinking, I got to go in and get X-rays now.
No, it X-rays you. It shows you your bones as you're going through it. It's a wonderful feature. It was one of the main draws of Prime Video when they launched, and one of the main ways they were differentiating it. And I find that I like it so much, after I go from a Prime Video show to go to a Netflix or a Hulu show, when I pause a Netflix show, I go, there's a split second where I go, wait, why can't I see the information? Oh, that's so helpful.
Or it
would be great. I think they need to figure out a way where they're not straight up copying Prime Video, but having that sort of information, because everybody goes, wait, who was that actor in that thing? To have that on hand for a Prime Video show is delightful.
You know, people forget there was a time where if you turned on your television and a show was midway through, you didn't know what you were watching, who was in it, you didn't know anything. Now, because of cable TV and satellite, you know, you can quickly look at a screen in a box and go, okay, I know what's what. But a generation ago, you were just in the dark until the show was over.
Yeah, and I say the more information, the better. I mean, I know people are very against a second screen experience because it takes you away from looking at the main screen.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. I like sitting on the couch with my wife and both of us saying, wait, do we know that person from that show? And one of us looking it up, telling the other person, and then we can, you know, keep watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay. You know, the more information that helps you enjoy and get deeper into the show or the movie, the better.
Yep, agreed. Alexander Zeldman is our guest. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. We'll pick this up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking television. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And from Decider.com, the managing editor, Alexander Zeldman. You can follow him on Twitter. I do, A. Zeldman. That's where you find them.
Mm-hmm.
I have been actually able to watch a lot of TV because all the shows I watch are on hiatus right now.
Right.
All the good shows, it's the holiday slump.
Yeah, yeah.
When do the new shows start? Is it coming soon?
They're back, Wendy. They're back. TV is back.
You can watch again. Yay. And to prove that it's better than ever.
It's semi unofficially kicked off, I would say, on Wednesday with The Masked Singer. I don't know if you guys watch that over on Fox. But
no.
That is a ridiculous singing competition. Absolutely over the top. People wearing costumes. You have to figure out who they are. Feels like a summer show, but for some reason it's premiering during the winter. But everybody was speculating and talking about that. We had a couple of other game shows premiered yesterday. The Titan Games with The Rock. Ellen's Game of Games, I believe, is premiering soon. And then TV, I believe The Blacklist also premiered last night. So things very slowly this week, and then they should be ramping up next week and the week afterwards if you're missing your favorite shows.
Go back to The Masked Singer for just a little bit, because
I've never even heard of this.
They've been running clips for it for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it finally did premiere a few days ago. So you have 4 stars, much like all the other competition shows on TV. You get 3 or 4 stars, and they're judging a competition. Somebody's up there singing, but they're dressed like a panda bear or a dragon for no reason at all. But then here's one of the criticisms, Alex, and there are many about this show, was that then at the end they only revealed who, I guess, one of the 3 or 4 singers were. Is that true?
So it's a meld of like a Dancing with the Stars style celebrity singing competition with insane costumes and almost Guess Who, I guess, is the way to think about it. So the first episode, which aired this week, had 6 celebrities going head-to-head, one-to-one, in these crazy costumes, giving clues about themselves. The panelists had to guess who they were, but that didn't seem to be part of the competition. And then they voted for one over the other. The 3 lowest-ranking people in costumes, the celebrities, one of them was eliminated from the competition. It turned out, spoiler, that the person dressed as a giant hippo was Antonio Brown, I believe.
Football player?
The football player. And then next week we'll see another 6 disguised celebrities, and slowly by the end of the show they'll reveal who everybody is. The tease is that there are some big A-list celebrities there. I'm a little dubious how A-list everybody's going to be, but it's a ridiculous, fun guessing game.
Who is watching this, and how were the ratings?
The ratings were very good. I'll start with that, first of all. The number one show of Wednesday night. 9.2 million people, I believe, watched it live. And then another 2 million or so, I think, additional over streaming and other things. So you're definitely going to see it for a while. I'm curious to see what's going to happen next week, actually, once the rest of TV is back proper. This still felt like everybody kind of getting warmed up. And you also have the curiosity factor for a show like this on the first week. Everybody was tweeting about it. I know sports fans were interested in the Antonio Brown reveal. I certainly got a lot of folks who are not sports fans on my Twitter saying, "Who?" So if it does turn out to be very C-list, D-list celebs, I don't think I'll have as long a shelf life. But the South Korean version, I believe it was South Korean version, revealed Ryan Reynolds was dressed as a unicorn.
Oh,
so if they do manage to get somebody of that level, I think it'll definitely amp up the interest in the show quite a bit. But
why would someone of that ilk do something like this?
They must have paid him a ton of money, right?
He was promoting Deadpool at the time, and the way that I understand it, the Korean version works differently. It's more a week-to-week thing versus this, which is more an American model. It's more of a long-term commitment, so you're not going to get somebody like a Ryan Reynolds. They were doing a lot of guessing on the first episode, saying, "Ooh, maybe that's Lady Gaga, maybe that's Beyonce," and the reaction from everybody was, "You're not getting Beyonce on this show. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen." But we'll have to see. Maybe it'll pull off a surprise.
It looked like the kind of thing that they would show to a prisoner over and over again to try to make him confess to a crime.
It definitely felt like that at points. I'll tell you what, the patter was my least favorite part of the show. From the host is Nick Ken, Robin Thicke, Ken Jeong, Nicole Scherzinger, and Jerry McCarthy are the panel. Mm-hmm. And they got to get better at the patter. The back and forth there, the guesses, was very awkward. But the performances, just watching people bounce around in these insane costumes to pop songs, that's delightful. It doesn't match with the rest of the show at all, but that makes it watchable. That makes it so weird.
And
it comes around
this.
The bed to being fun.
Frightening. All right, let's talk about Gotham. This is the last season for Gotham. It's coming to an end. The early days of Batman. What can you tell us about the new season?
So there are 12 episodes in the final season. It kicked off last night, and we're finally going to see baby Batman, played by David Mazouz, become Batman proper by the last episode. If you've never checked out the show, if you only vaguely know anything about Batman, it's definitely a deep dive. This is one of the most insane, complicated shows on television. But it's almost like its own season, where Gotham City has been cut off from the rest of the world. There's rival gangs fighting. I've seen the first three episodes, and they're over-the-top insane. Mm. All the villains are finally villains. And the final episode will actually jump ahead about 10 years to show how everybody hooks up to their comic book destinies. And reportedly, will finally show off the Batsuit, which should be fun for fans.
Excellent. Good. And that has already premiered, or it's about to premiere?
It premiered last night, so you can actually stream the episode on Fox Now, and it'll be every Thursday night after that for
Excellent.
The next 12 weeks.
Excellent. The Golden Globe Awards are on Sunday night. It's Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh hosting, right?
That's correct. The dynamic duo themselves are coming back, I guess, for the first time.
Back together.
But it should be a lot of fun. Reportedly, The Lonely Island is doing a lot of work behind the scenes. They're responsible for the digital shorts that Andy Samberg and others were involved in on Saturday Night Live. They've been having a lot of fun with it on Twitter and on social media. And the Golden Globes is always the boozy, crazy awards. So it's a chance for the two of them to really let loose and not feel as staid as other award shows. You're going to see a lot of weird winners you don't expect, which is always a lot of fun and head-scratching. Mm-hmm. So it should be a fun night.
They're both very talented. There's no doubt about it that they can pull it off. Now, there's been some news about the hosting job for the Academy Awards.
Much to your chagrin.
Much to my chagrin. Much
Bill
to my
is
chagrin.
Not a fan of Kevin Hart at all, but Ellen DeGeneres is a big fan.
Right. What can you tell us? Is he going to host now?
We'll have to see what happens. So Kevin Hart went on Ellen's show, and not only did she plead with him to go back and consider hosting the show again after he bowed out, but also she actually called up the Academy and told them, listen, you got to let Kevin Hart back. You got to let him host the show. That is not a very popular decision, is what I would say, both on the part of Ellen and Kevin Hart. You don't usually see backlash against her because she's so genial and everybody likes her so much. People were not happy that she went in all in on Kevin Hart, particularly given the homophobic joke scandal. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see if the Academy picks it up, particularly because they're still hostless for the show, and this is very late in the game for them to not have anybody available.
And they've never announced a replacement, so some people were speculating that this could have been a stunt. But don't you think mm-hmm. there's still going to be, if he ends up hosting it, I think people are going to be mad rather than happy or relieved that he's come back.
Absolutely. It would be, in my opinion, a very bad decision at this point to go back on that. We're not ready for the Kevin Hart apology tour as of yet. I think they got to let it go for this Oscars, find somebody else, and kind of just move on.
You need somebody funny like Liev Schreiber.
Ray Donovan, funniest show on television every week.
He's always funny.
He was not very good on SNL, was he?
He's not, but his whole thing is he admits that he's not funny. He
took the pressure off.
Right. What about Batwoman? Now, this is an interesting idea. This is the...
For you.
Well, yeah, I guess just for me. I'll be selfish on Batwoman, but what do you... It's going to happen, right?
It looks definitely like it's closer to happening on the CW. This is a spinoff of the Arrowverse shows, Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow. It stars Ruby Rose as Batwoman. She was introduced in a crossover that they had a couple of months ago, and fans were very surprised. People were kind of against it because of the acting ability she's shown off thus far, but she did really well as Batwoman. They're doing a pilot. It looks like it may, in fact, go to series. It's going to be set in a Gotham City after Batman has disappeared. Mm. And one of the big buzzy things about it is she is an out lesbian character. So that would be the first time we've had a superhero like that, not just on television, but I believe on film in general. So that would be a really big deal for fans of the character, fans of superheroes, and fans of the Arrowverse shows.
She's an interesting actress. You know, she started out as a model, and I saw her at first on Orange is the New Black. She was on a season of Orange is the New Black. Most of her body is covered in tattoos. When she mm-hmm. plays Batwoman, are they going to hide that, or will she have the tattoos?
No, they were revealed on the crossover. She had them in full display, and that actually really ties into the character. I'm a big fan of the Batwoman comics. They're very well done and gorgeously drawn in particular. And the character has a lot of tattoos. She's usually depicted as very pale as well, which Ruby Rose wasn't necessarily. But when she's in costume, it's a full-body Batwoman costume with a wig and disguise and everything.
That's what Wendy wears to work every day.
So that covers up the tattoos there. But yeah. She's looked so great pretty. And she acted
yeah.
great.
Yeah. yeah, excellent. Alex, so good to talk to you again. We're thrilled to have you for 2019, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Sounds good. Happy New Year again.
It's Thanks Alex again. Albin. The website is Decider.com. It's a great website for entertainment. So visit Decider.com.
All right. And news time right now at 11:30. I just want everyone to know we've pretty much been on time almost exactly all
right.
day long.
Yes.
Noted.
Yeah, yeah, but thanks, of course, Ryan. Steve Bertrand is not here. Usually when Bertrand's here, we're way late. Yeah. So
maybe he's the reason why.
Thank you for noticing
maybe
that,
Maybe I'm the
Ryan.
Reason why.
I think so. There well. Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand still works here. He is on vacation.
I missed it. Don't you?
I do.
No shot at all on Ryan Burrow, who's nothing but professional.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss seeing Steve.
I sort of.
He helps us reach things that are on high shelves.
That's what yes. I miss most about him. Sometimes Wendy and I will shoot baskets before the show, and our ball gets stuck on the roof, and Steve always comes and gets our ball down for us.
Until he returns, we have to use the claw.
Yeah.
He had to help us with our Christmas decorations that were hanging in here.
Yeah, he's very helpful.
Well, he will return, I believe, on Monday. Judy Pilak, I miss too, and she just doesn't work here anymore.
She's done.
That's wild.
Yep.
It hasn't sunk in yet. I keep thinking she's on vacation.
I went by the old building, the old Tribune Tower, and where her star is on the Walk of Fame, there's just fans weeping. Just sitting there weeping together.
I would have thought she would have jackhammered it out of that.
Taking it
by
home
now.
With her.
Yeah.
I'm shocked she didn't.
Yeah. All right. We have something to share for the new year. We have some family fun. We have a family 4-pack of tickets to the 15th annual Lake Home and Cabin Show. I wish I had a lake home.
That'd
there
be
are
nice.
Oh my God, there are so many cute little signs like everything's better at the lake
yeah.
when you go to these little boutiques. It's happening January 11th through the 13th at the Schaumburg Convention Center. It's the one-stop event of answers and great ideas if you already own a second home or you're thinking about buying one. I've been thinking about buying one for years. I never will pull the trigger.
Not yet.
Someday.
I bet you will.
More information at lakehomeandcabinshow.com, or you can be the fifth caller right now in honor of Mary Vandeveld, because her birthday is January 5th, and so is my brother's.
Oh.
312-981-7200. Caller number 5, 312-981-7200. We have a family 4-pack of tickets. 15th annual Lake Home and Cabin Show, January 11th through the 13th at Schaumburg Convention Center.
Wendy, I have a story to share with you, and the problem is, if I go into specifics about the story, I will get in trouble. Is that fair?
I'm surprised you didn't save this for the stream, which feel free for the new year. Make it a resolution to listen to us on the stream. You can find us at WGNradio.com, also on the app. We're there from noon to one.
Yes, 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 yes.
From Chicago, if I may just.
Oh, congrats, Danny.
Danny from Chicago is, I hope he has a lake home or cabin. If not, he's going to find out everything he needs to know, where to get cool stuff for it. It's lakehomeandcabinshow.com. But Danny from Chicago will be there at the Schaumburg Convention Center. Have a great time.
Lucky Danny. All right, so here's the story. Keep in mind, we're walking a tightrope here because the specifics of this story are very dangerous and should probably not be discussed on radio.
Oh, God.
Despite that, here goes.
It's going to be a short year of work.
This is a story out of Keene, New Hampshire. Now, I visit New Hampshire on an almost yearly basis, because we go to Maine every year, and New Hampshire is just a stone's throw away. It'd be ridiculous to not visit New Hampshire.
Is it that when close?
They're right next to each other. They're right next to each other. So, yeah, when we go to Maine, we always spend at least a day also in New Hampshire. It's a lovely, lovely place to be. So in Keene, New Hampshire, there is a restaurant opening up with a name that some say is too controversial. Here's the premise. It's a restaurant, and the cuisine served at this restaurant is Vietnamese. And are you familiar with a dish, a Vietnamese dish? It is spelled P-H-O. It's a soup.
Yes.
It is not pronounced P-H-O. It is pronounced pho, like F-A. That is the name of the soup, right?
Yeah.
So this restaurant is going to name the first, it's a three-parter. I think if I say it with enough space between the three parts, I can't get in trouble.
Yes, you still could.
Could I? I think this is safe. I think.
There was some show, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I...
Was it The Masked Singer?
No, it was on this station. And somebody spelled something out. Like, you can't say blah, blah, blah,
but
blah.
They spelled
yes!
it.
Yes! I can't remember who it was.
The way I can do this, I think, I hope, is that I will say a part and then I'll pause and we'll think about it. And then I'll say the second part and we'll pause and think about it. And then I'll say the third part. All right? So, the restaurant has one name, but it's three components. The first one is that P-H-O word, pho. Because that's the soup that they sell there. That's their specialty. The next one is Keene, because that's the name of the town where the restaurant is going to be open. It's Keene, New Hampshire. So you have...
I got it. You don't have to put it together.
So that's parts one and part two. The third part is great, because they believe that their restaurant is great. Come on in. The food is great. Our pho is great.
In Keene.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That's the best name for a restaurant in history. However, the good people of Keene, New Hampshire disagree. They find it very, very offensive and are doing everything in their power to get the restaurant booted before it's even open.
That's not fair. It isn't fair.
All right, so you tell me. Let's say that you and your family live there in New Hampshire, in Keene, New Hampshire. And you walk by and you go, oh, look, this restaurant, they're opening up a restaurant here. This will be fantastic. What's the restaurant called? And then you see the name of it. Do you get so upset by the name that you say to the city officials, this must be stopped. I'm a taxpayer. You can't have a restaurant called blump, blump, blump here in my town. Uh-uh. Get rid of it.
I would giggle.
I would, too. I want to buy the t-shirt. They're talking about how they had all these t-shirts printed up and now they don't know what to do with the t-shirts because if the restaurant isn't called that, the t-shirts won't make sense. I want to buy one of the t-shirts. I think it's hysterical.
That is really funny.
So funny. It's so funny.
So, P-H-O.
P-H-O, spelled P-H-O, but pronounced pho. Second part is the name of the town in New Hampshire, Keene. Third part, great. Because that's what the restaurant is, or would be, if they could open it. Now they can't.
They should be able to open it. First of all, I bet most people pronounce pho wrong.
I bet. See, that would be my first argument, is that.
I would be like, po, keen, great. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's nothing. That's not offensive to anybody. It reminds me of, do you remember years ago? Now, this was a rumor. And this always have this. You know how there were some rumors that before the internet, there was no way to know.
Yeah,
you would just go, "Oh, I guess that's possible." So, do you remember the rumors about a store that sold couches or sofas, and it was called Sofa, and then Male Royalty? You know the word for monarch, Male Royalty. A monarch would be
a king.
So the couch store was called Sofa
King.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Except that the rumor was that in the ads, they would say, our prices are low.
Oh.
You can't beat our prices.
Because there's a lot of, like, Taco King.
Right.
Chair
right.
King.
Right.
Maybe not that. But,
but those aren't
sofa
potentially as dangerous as this.
People have got to lighten up. Now millennials are mad at Seinfeld, too?
Yes.
What in the
yes,
world?
Yes, they are.
What's the deal?
What's the deal with that, Wendy?
Everything.
Explain why millennials are mad at Jerry Seinfeld. Who's just so... How could he be mad at Jerry Seinfeld?
That is my nightcap every night. That or The Office.
An episode of Seinfeld?
Usually like two or three. And we all kind of watch that. That's like our calm down time, you know, how you
right.
need quiet time before bed.
Right.
And it is so funny. And yeah, it's politically incorrect. And, you know, the soup Nazi was on that show.
Yes.
And I think when they replay it, they still call him. They haven't edited out that word.
No, it's still intact because I've seen the rerun of that episode and they still refer to him as the soup Nazi.
However, didn't he have a website and... either it was the...
The actor who played
yes.
him, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had to change it.
I think so.
People so, were offended by I that. Mean, that was... I'm sorry, that was funny back in the, what, 80s and 90s when we watched it. When did Seinfeld come
but
out?
But you still knew when it was on initially that there was going to be some pushback because obviously the word Nazi has nothing
right.
but negative connotations. Right?
Absolutely, 100%.
So even, I remember when it first aired, watching it going, oh, there's going to be a meeting somewhere at NBC.
But people use that by saying, you know, like, oh, you know, I got to check tickets at wherever I'm working. Oh, are you the ticket Nazi? People use that pretty freely.
It's part of the vernacular. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back when Seinfeld came out.
Yeah.
Millennials are just reaming and slamming sitcom. Several show fans are hitting right back, arguing that today's culture is overly political correct and times have changed since the show aired from 1989 to 98. Some points of controversy include using offensive slurs like Nazi,
mm-hmm.
Indian giver.
Mm-hmm.
That was a funny episode. Mm-hmm. That was a term people used. I'm sorry, we know better now. This show wasn't made now.
Do people still say Indian giver, or has that been completely banished?
I haven't heard people use it.
I can't remember the last time I heard anyone say it.
Can I just say something?
Sure, Chaz.
I had to take my last class ever for my master's was a Seinfeld class.
Really?
Right on.
Wow.
I had no idea about Seinfeld. I'm sorry. I was just not
you
into
were a baby
it.
When that was
yeah,
first,
you're
right.
I mean, I was born, yeah, but I just wasn't into it. I never watched it. And we talked about every single thing that you guys are talking about right now, which is hilarious. The Indian giver, the whole... what was it? The soup Nazi thing. Mm-hmm. What else did we talk about? Elaine being the female character
mm-hmm.
of that time. And we didn't really have that before then. It wasn't like a labeled one because Seinfeld before just had the three guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything that you guys are talking about. So I don't know why they're up in arms because like this was set back in the 89, 90s. And it just wasn't prevalent at the time.
Well, he has been saying, Jerry Seinfeld has been saying for 2 or 3 years now, that he doesn't want to do colleges because stuff that was openly accepted now is questioned. And he goes, you hear all kinds of people moaning and booing at stuff that used to just get nothing but laughs. Nobody would question it. And his content is that everybody is so politically correct now that comedy is failing because
almost impossible.
Yeah.
There's another episode. Kramer accidentally sets the Puerto Rican flag on fire and then he furiously stomps on it to snuff out the flames.
All right, so now that episode is interesting because after it aired, there were so many complaints that they said that when this goes into distribution for reruns, that they won't show that episode anymore.
Well,
there were so many people upset about that.
Another episode pokes fun at Japanese culture and has a Japanese businessman visiting Kramer and they sleep in the drawers of his dressers.
I remember that.
And
I believe that is Getty Watanabe, isn't it? Isn't he the actor who's in there?
Long Duck Dong?
Long Duck Dong, which you could also say is slightly offensive.
Totally.
If not more. Yeah. I know.
And in another episode, Jerry says he loves Chinese women. This was just on a rerun I was watching. When Elaine asks him, isn't that a little racist? Jerry replies, if I like their race, how can that be racist?
Right. I know.
It poses a question.
I know.
But a lot of people are against it. A lot of millennials. I hate to group all millennials together, too. I'm going to stop doing that in the new millennium.
Is that your resolution?
Yeah.
Is to stop separating millennials?
I'm so sick of people saying, there is a funny one though, who does the morning weather on WGN, Morgan
Cookmeyer.
Yes.
Yeah.
A listener tweeted something out with a picture of her and a picture of Sean Cassidy
uh-huh.
and said, you know, boy, they look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And Sean Cassidy responded.
Oh, nice.
Which is like so cool. So then Robin Baumgarten tweeted something that said, I am so jealous of millennials, but this is the one I'm really jealous about. I'm misquoting everything. But even Robin called Morgan a millennial. Yeah. I refuse to use that term anymore. I'm done. It's out of my vernacular. You can't group a whole bunch of people together.
I know what you mean.
There are.
There's a
millennial calling you right now.
I'm working. I can't talk to them.
But see, that's not all millennials.
Right. But it's used as a way of dividing them. I don't think in any way other than age group. I mean, we've all you know, we've all come to expect more of anyone who has that title. You know, like everyone goes, they're lazy. But you can't put a whole generation of people and say that a generation is lazy, can you? But it's the same way like when baby boomers came up, people just would assume if you fell under that bracket, you must be this, this, and this.
We're kind of in the cusp.
Yeah.
Because technically, if you look at baby boomers, we're at the very tail end of it.
Right.
And what was next? Gen Xers?
Gen Xers, yeah.
And millennials are technically Gen Ys.
I'm a tweener too.
Yeah. See,
they called it the echo boom there in the 80s.
Because why?
Well, it was the kids of the boom.
Right.
It was the echo boom.
Millennial generation was born between 1977 and 1994.
Is Ryan saying
mentioned? Wait a minute. The millennials were 77?
Yeah.
No, that
can't be right.
That can't be right.
No.
Because the point of the millennials is that they were always born with the internet, right? Before they went to high school. Yeah.
I thought it was 1980
to 2000. That's what Time magazine says.
That seems right.
I think it's 82, but yeah. Okay.
All right, we all have our different variations here because
I blame the millennials.
Of course you do.
Make themselves seem a little older,
yes.
Maybe. Maybe
they're out of us.
Yeah.
I am done. You can take issue with everyone else, but I am finished blaming millennials for things.
Are you though? Yeah. I mean, we got tuna last week. We're blamed for tuna cans.
What?
Yeah, because we apparently don't know how to use can openers, so now tuna sales are down.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
That's crazy.
All right,
there's got to be an app for that somewhere, right, Violetta?
Can I tell you, I am so sick of cans that you have to open with a can opener. Why don't you follow suit of SpaghettiOs and use the one where you can just pull the top?
Because then you're going to be a lazy millennial that doesn't know how to use a can opener.
A true millennial would just have their mom or dad open it for
obviously.
Them.
Obviously. Yes. Who's even making their own sandwiches?
I don't like it anymore.
You better cut the crust off.
What's the deal with tuna cans?
I am so sick of using a can opener because I use a hand crank one.
Yeah.
And when you're making spaghetti sauce, my arm burns out before I can even stir the sauce.
Wow.
But it's like an accomplishment to know when to stop spinning, you know, so the can doesn't go all the way in.
Right.
Just do the pull top. It worked great for the snack. What was the?
Hunt snack packs?
Yes.
Yeah, it worked for them.
Come on, you could put it in your lunchbox.
Yep.
There's something satisfying with jamming that knife in there to pull up the lid when it gets jammed in the...
Half the kids that I grew up with are missing fingers because of that.
Got a mayor like that.
I had a lot of cuts on my tongue.
Did
from
you?
From licking the
from
lid.
The lid?
Yeah. Well, there's pudding on it. You can't let
you
any
don't
pudding
throw
go
out
to waste.
Any pudding. That's a sin.
All right, well, here's what I got. Baby boomers, if I could just give you the years...
Mm-hmm.
The silent generation was born 1928 to 1945.
If you were part of the silent generation, that would be the most strange fact in the world.
That's so funny.
Wendy Snyder of the silent generation. People go, we've named this generation incorrectly.
The jerk store called.
Hey, that would be me. That's my generation.
They're running out of you.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't remember.
Set me up.
You have to pay it off with
I
that.
I didn't.
Or...
Whatever. Okay, you went into Jerry Seinfeld
Ryan
right there.
With the same.
Thank you. I'm ex-millennial or generation next.
Well,
whatever I am.
Bill
I got
was lazy
it.
There because you could have finished it for
me. I'm too tired.
You said, hey, that's me, instead of just finishing it for me.
I was throwing an original spin on it.
I was doing a pip into Jordan. You did an air ball.
I tipped my usual 1%.
Millennials don't know what that means.
Stop it.
We know who Jordan is.
Who's
well, Pippen was
who's
the no Pippen
Pippen you speak of?
Baby boomers born 1946 to 64.
Okay.
I don't want to be a boomer.
You don't have any say in it.
I'm more Gen X, man. Come on. That's 1965 to 1980.
That's so baby boomer of you to say.
Yes.
When was MTV introduced into your life?
82-ish.
But where were you at?
High school.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Millennials are born 1981 to 1996, and post-millennials, 1997 to present. So my sons are post-millennials.
Yeah.
You still have millennial daughters.
Yes. Technically, yes.
So when can we make up a name for them and start blaming them for things?
Immediately. Yeah, when can we do that?
Immediately.
I'm finished with the millennial blame.
You're not playing that game anymore.
Nope.
You're out. You're out.
Blaming the silent generation because they're silent and they can't complain.
They don't say anything.
I bet you, you know what? Seriously, I bet you they're the iPhone generation, right? Because the iPhones came out in, what, 08? 07, somewhere around there.
Somewhere there.
Yeah.
Yep.
The I generation. There it is.
Are you having a party in the newsroom, by the way? There are
Maybe
so many people
Friday.
Like yelling out. It's
Friday.
Like,
they all want to participate. Everyone
it's like,
here
let's
wants
make
to
a
play.
Deal. Our price is right.
We don't call the radio station anymore. We just
show up.
Just party here.
Show
yeah.
up. All right. We all must right. take a break.
Yes,
Wendy.
And
we
coming
must.
Up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow and everybody else in
Maybe,
the newsroom.
I don't know.
The Northwestern Medicine newsroom, that is, right here, 720 WGN.